Hey, what's up, everybody? My name's MJ, and you're listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast. As usual, I'd like to give a quick shout-out before we begin to my local game store, Guardian Games. You can find Guardian Games on the web at ggportland.com. Again, before we start the rest of today's episode, I'd like to give a huge shout-out and thank you to the awesome people who've supported me over at patreon.com/mtginquarantine. So, another huge shout-out to Mr. Big Bence, Anomaly, Draco Lucian, Neo Royal, Nick S., and Infamous Fridge for supporting me. If you'd like to help me make more awesome content and support the show, head on over to patreon.com/mtginquarantine for more information. Well, looks like Innistrad Crimson Vow is just around the corner, and you know what that means. It means it's time for another of the half-baked predictions series, where I bring awesome members of the community on to give ourselves kind of a pat on the back or, you know, make some really dumb decisions based on what we think is going to be in the new Innistrad Crimson Vow set, based upon Mark Rosewater's latest Tumblr post of spoilers. Today, I would like to introduce another special guest. It's been a while. Reintroducing Cole from the Uncommon Commanders podcast. Welcome back.
Hey, MJ. Thanks for having me back.
No problem. So again, Cole, how I've done this before, and you know this, is that Mark Rosewater, before every set, releases a Tumblr post of some interesting spoiler things from an upcoming set. And we are here to talk for about the next half hour or so about some of the things that we are really excited about out of these spoilers. Obviously, we don't know much beyond just a few keywords, maybe some new ideas, some of the new creature types, etc., etc. But again, that's the whole fun of doing this sort of thing, is that we can be kind of introspective, as well as talk about a whole bunch of wacky conspiracy theories about things that are probably or probably not going to be correct. So again, I hope you've had a chance to look at this. I know I really haven't, but things look interesting from what I can see. So let's get started. What is one thing, I mean, the thing you are the most excited about out of any of these spoiler bits?
Okay, I mean, we're heading right back into sort of vampire season with this second return to Innistrad. The thing that really catches my interest right now is that, like, a legendary character returns but is now a vampire. And if we consider Innistrad's history, there's only really a handful of non-vampire beings on the plane. And that just gets me thinking, it might just be Odric.
Yeah, that's interesting, because we haven't seen Odric, we haven't seen Thalia recently, but we know they're going to be showing up in this next set. I think that's already been established, so it's entirely possible. Although there are potentially other... Actually, it'd be kind of funny if the Gitrog monster showed up as a vampire, but I stand corrected on that one. But yeah, you're probably right on this one. Again, there really aren't a lot of legendary characters that haven't already shown up or didn't show up in Midnight Hunt. And again, let's just consider how many we're missing. We're down to the two I already mentioned. So it is possible that we will have another character returning that we are not thinking of. You're probably right on that one.
Yeah, and besides that kind of catching my interest, there is something else that really caught my eye. A new mechanic, which is a mirror of an already existing mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're thinking... If it's isolated to Innistrad's history, I am 100% on board and also ready to be proven wrong. I want blessings coming out in this set as contrast to curses.
Okay, and how would you define necessarily some sort of blessing versus a regular enchantment that helps your board?
I mean, see, curses are enchant players. It is an aura. Obviously, the reverse of that would be another... enchant player, but I feel like we'd be looking more at some kind of strange anthem effects that give some kind of benefit, and might have something to do with possibly humans or spirits, considering them being the counterparts. I guess we'll have to wait and see. That's where my money is.
Mm-hmm. All right, something on my end that I think really, really caught my eye here was obviously, besides the number between 0 and 13, we just saw Triska Decaphile in the last set, so that does seem interesting. But I think when you go down to the creature types here, Again, we do have the two, or at least two new Vampire Noble legendary creatures out there. This is going to be a vampire heavy set, everybody. Just get, buckle up and get ready for that one. But again, there's been a lot of talk about Runo Stromkirk finally getting a card after the last two sets, not getting much of basically anything. But I'm also really just interested in seeing what kind of thing we can have for a Kraken Horror. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I like these big sea creatures, and it just seems like mixing these two strange types together can create some kind of weird new commander that I think people might really enjoy. It sounds kind of like a Slogurk from one of the last couple of sets here, the giant slime monster. This, just to me, feels like it's in the same vein as that, and I guess I'm kind of excited to see where they can go with that. It'd be kind of fun if they could create another commander that gives you sea creature tribal abilities, but doesn't necessarily have to. Maybe going off into black a little bit, allowing you to play Dimir sea creatures, something like that. I think that'd definitely be something that I think a lot of people would play.
Yeah, and the thing I was thinking of too, and I was doing a bit of read-up on Nephalia and the Stromkirk vampires, is that they worship an ancient sea god. So it might be that as Innistrad is now permanently in the night, all these ancient horrors that were lying in the ocean are now coming up. Kind of Eldritch Horror light, obviously not as intense as what Emrakul was bringing to the table.
Mm-hmm. Seems like the people of Innistrad just can't catch a break, can they?
Absolutely not. Not at all.
All right. What's another thing that may not be like the most eye-catching thing, but something that you feel like might be a little bit underrated out of the rest of these spoilers?
I'd say the one thing that's been catching my eye, and I feel like gives some credence to my perspective on some certain legendary creatures coming back, spirits and blessings, the phrase equal to the number of permanents you control that are spirits and or enchantments. And I think with how spirits were handled during Eldritch Moon and how they sort of bonded with humans, I think this might have something to do with blessings still helping out humanity, spirits assisting humanity, and maybe possibly seeing a Thalia 3.0 at some point.
Oh, we definitely are. I think that's almost a foregone conclusion at some point. At least in my mind, anyway.
And honestly, whether she be mono white or she ends up being Azorius, I think either way, it's going to be pretty interesting to see how they blend humanity's characteristics for this next part of horrible times in Innistrad.
Yeah, so speaking of Thalia here, I guess there's there seems to be probably a better fit for this one. I guess, Cole, I want to just float this one. Here's going to be my first weird potential prediction for today. And that is a new legendary creature that combines two characters that previously each had their own legendary creature card. I feel like this is kind of the Helana Elena bit here, fitting on the same card as a single legendary creature that just seems to be very popular right now after Commander Legends came out last year and gave us those two cards. But it's entirely possible that we could have some sort of Thalia-Audric pairing here too, I feel. I think that having both of them on the same card doing something similar might be kind of nice in Mono White and Azorius. Or, I mean, here's the real outward pick. Potentially Thalia becomes a spirit herself, and therefore is potentially imbued again with the essence of the Geist of St. Traft, which already happened in Eldritch Moon. But again, you never know. I feel like maybe that right there could be something too, where you just have kind of like a souped up character here that now has all this extra strange power, I suppose. Trying to find the words for this one, but I think you know what I mean.
Yeah, like, so I don't know. I also want to believe that it is Hal and Elena as a combo. I hope nothing tragic has happened in them over the course of the last 5 years since we read their story during Shadows Over Innistrad. Anyone who studies the lore, you know, you good old Forthos crew, you probably know. My next thought is that I do think it would be a Thalia and Traft with sort of his silhouette behind her, probably like a JoJo stand if we really want to get freaky with it.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing Audric and Thalia working together after the events that happened during Shadows and Eldritch Moon, it'd be sort of like Audric's redemption, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then my last kind of off-base guess for that one is that maybe Ludovic or Geralf, whatever you pronounce his name, actually made and hybridized a legendary Stitcher combination. But that one's completely off base. I have no idea. I'm just throwing it out there.
Well, it's entirely possible. I mean, we did see a lot of zombie support in the last set, so I wouldn't say that's not going to happen. It's entirely possible. And again, that's what this episode is for. It's just to try to throw a lot of crazy potential conspiracies out there and just see what sticks.
Yeah. I think there's one last exciting one that was kind of near the top of the list that I think people are talking about a little bit more so. A new mechanic that removes something never removed before.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most people, and I do kind of lend to, like, I agree with it, having something that removes Planeswalker emblems, which now we're going full conspiracy theory mode about what's happening, having Edgar Markov wake up and possibly join with Olivia in this crazy Crimson Vow wedding scenario and somehow take Soren's power away as if he had an emblem come out, and they're just like, yoink, don't know how they'll do it, if that's the case, but that seems like a really cool concept.
Well, yeah, I mean, definitely. We have seen in the collector booster art, I believe, for the set, there, when you see the very, very fancy getup that Olivia's in, and this is on the, I believe, on the collector booster, yeah, you do see some sort of shadowy hand holding a knife in the background somewhere. Again, I'm not quite sure exactly what this has to do with anything. Obviously, she's not a planeswalker, but you never know. It seems like there's obviously something going on here behind the scenes. There always is on Innistrad, so we definitely can't discount that. But again, from a game standpoint, yeah, that's something that, again, there is no way to interact with those sorts of things. There are ways to deal with exile cards. Obviously, some of the Eldrazi drones from the Battle for Zendikar set. There's ways to deal with, there's a lot of ways to deal with exile cards like the Foretell mechanic. But until now, or, you know, maybe not even now, there hasn't been a way to get rid of Planeswalker emblems or any sort of emblems like that, because they're really not part of the game, ultimately, or at least they're not part of the field, the board, in any way. So, yeah, you're probably right. It would definitely be interesting to see Wizards try to put some sort of removal for that in there, although I guess I'm a little bit hesitant to say that, because it also sort of cheapens the concept of running Planeswalkers. Now, again, this is probably meant more for something like Standard, which is fine. The Wizards should definitely be trying to build for Standard, for some of the other formats where Planeswalker emblems are a problem. But again, since we both play EDH, we're both very into that community, it's very difficult to really be able to ult a Planeswalker in a lot of cases unless you're building a dedicated Super Friends deck. So the ability to get an emblem on one of those cards seems difficult enough to me that, you know, having a way to just be able to take it away just like that seems a little bit overpowered, I suppose. It kind of cheapens the concept of the Planeswalker in the EDH context, although, again, you know, that being said, we have all the cards at our disposal, whereas most formats don't. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt. I mean, kind of facetiously, I guess when I first saw this morning, I was thinking that, you know, maybe Wizards is going to find a way to ban the discourse, you know, in scare quotes, as I usually do, the discourse on Twitter. It'd be kind of nice if we could find a way to just have a card that would just permanently silence that for a while. I guess that'd be kind of nice, too.
We can only hope.
Yeah, but I guess I'm just wondering, if it isn't Planeswalker emblems, is there anything else that hasn't ever really had a way to remove it? I guess I'm just trying to think of if there's any, like, secondary possibilities here, so that if we don't get emblem removal, is there something that takes legendary away from a creature? I don't know. Something
I mean, you know what? Now that we're talking about that, and there's also the new counters that are being brought into the mm-hmm. game, I'm starting to think that if they're focusing on, if tribal is an element, then perhaps, yeah, removing an aspect of a creature permanently, whether by use of a token, by being placed, like, the names are a bit strange for this one, Bloodline, Croak, Invitation, Judgment, Omen, Slime, and Suspect. Perhaps, wild speculation, the Bloodline counter gets placed on a creature and removes all other creature types. But we've kind of technically seen that with some changeling cards back during Lorwyn. So, you know, and of course, what about removing these new types of counters that are in plus one or negative one counters? Well, technically speaking, there's a few cards that do remove all types of counters, so can't exactly rule that out as a possibility either.
I mean, ultimately, it'd be kind of cool to see a way to remove some sort of super type, maybe. Again, remove a creature's type. We there are ways to change a creature's type or give them all types. You're right. But I guess I'm just wondering if there's just a way to remove a creature type in general in part of changing it potentially. I don't know. I'm probably grasping at straws. It's probably going to be emblems, but I guess I just didn't want to say it's a foregone conclusion right now.
Well, I think we got about, 3 weeks from today, give or take, until we actually... Well,
preview season will start here soon, yeah.
Yeah,
so we're going to find out in the next couple weeks here.
Sooner or later, for sure. After all the ones you're asking me what I'm interested in, is there anything else on this list that is catching your eye? Because, there's some spicy stuff on this list.
Oh, yeah. I mean, let's see. I'm again, like you, I'm really interested in the new mechanic, which is a mirror of an already existing mechanic. I would kind of like to see Flashback, but from Exile. That'd be kind of nice.
Ooh.
Kind of a weird, mirror Underworld Breach, I suppose, just... you have to exile a card first because it would give your jumpstart, your flashback cards a third life, I suppose. But again, since this is Innistrad and we have seen a lot of flashback cards, that seems like something that'd be interesting for me would be give some of your cards freedom from exile. Typically, we don't see a lot of cards that mess with the exile zone, but if we are potentially going to be removing Planeswalker emblems, I feel like maybe the exile zone might be a new stage to play around with. Maybe the Eldrazi were onto something.
I mean, if we're lucky and Mark Rosewater doesn't catch wind of this, it got slipped in. The Exile is now another playable zone. I would be totally okay with that.
I mean, it kind of already is. It would cheapen Exile effects like Swords to Plowshares, et cetera, but again, how many people are running the... people said that with Kaldheim, too, with the Foretell cards, and how many people are running the Eldrazi drones just to get rid of Foretell cards? Probably not many.
Yeah, hard to say at this point.
Let's see, what else looks really interesting? Let's see.
Obviously, the new type of artifact token that goes along with clues, food, and treasures?
Interesting. Yeah, so again, since we are on Innistrad, this is where the clue tokens have arrived, but obviously maybe the clue tokens aren't as necessary because that doesn't really fit in as much with this set, I suppose, just Vorthos-wise. So I guess, Cole, if you were to design a new artifact token, what would you design along these lines?
So I was kind of thinking about this, and I got some notes. I got two options. One I think is more likely, one I think is less likely. So, clues are about finding out information by investigating, so that allows you to draw a card. Food allows you to gain your life back, and treasure allows you to ramp. That's kind of, it's kind of fairly player-centric. So my mentality was that either it's somehow a creature influential token that might increase the power and toughness by expending this token, but also since we're going into a vampire themed set, and you know, I love Bloodborne, so I'm gonna bring this in here. Okay. That maybe it's some kind of like blood vial token, and this blood vial does something to the player. It gives something to perhaps your creatures, or maybe even, oh wow, I didn't even think about this. What if the token makes a creature token? A bit roundabout, but I think maybe. If it's giving a player a benefit, it might be able to maybe make a creature token.
Interesting. So, kind of like those old artifacts where you used to just be able to pay a whole bunch of mana, sacrifice them, and just boom, here you have a whole ton of just random little creature tokens. Something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I also feel like maybe I'm stretching a little bit. Maybe it's just something that just shaves off oncoming damage, but then you have food for that. So
Well,
hard to say.
I have an interesting idea now that you've mentioned that. How about something that would be kind of like a combat trick, let's say? It's like,
Yeah,
okay, how about your blood vial token right there. Let's just call it that. How about you sacrifice it? It gives a target creature a -2/-2 till end of turn as if it's getting its life force sucked out. I don't know. Or if your target creature is a vampire, give it +1/+1 till end of turn by expending this thing and you get one life or something. Maybe crack it. Don't, it has nothing to do with card draw. It has nothing to do with the last set, but it does kind of have something to do with life, but it kind of doesn't. But it, yeah, having an artifact that you can basically crack for a combat trick would definitely be interesting, I think. It's design space that we haven't seen before. You can use food as a combat trick, mostly to save your own life, but we haven't seen a giant growth in an artifact before.
one last final thought, throwing this out here. What if it's a trap token? Like, what if it is a trap that is able to be triggered when you make it?
Interesting, because there are definitely the trap cards that exist in Magic's history, but we haven't seen them on a token. Interesting.
Yeah. But that's pretty much the last I got for guesses, because I mean this one's pretty open-ended. Hard to think what
Oh,
it could
definitely.
be.
I mean, I think we felt the same way about food when that came out, honestly, is that seemed like it was new design space right there.
Like, ooh, that's crazy. Why would I want to gain 3 life? Oh, actually, that's super helpful.
Well, it's helpful in basically any format.
And just as the mono red player, throwing these last two ones out here, I'm not sure about you. A card that makes red dragon illusion creature tokens with flying and haste. I totally think this is something to do with Moonveil Dragons. And the last one that was mentioned further down the list. If it's red, you may cast it this turn. And I think this is somehow giving some red spells some kind of flash effect. So I'm curious to see what that's going to be.
Interesting. And I think I'd be remiss to not mention this, but there's also something that says twice that many of those tokens are created. Instead, everyone loves Parallel Lives that came out of the original Innistrad. Obviously, that card is busted. They're probably not going to reprint it anytime soon in a standard legal set. But it looks to me like that's the kind of effect that they're definitely going to try to have on something, probably a permanent. We already had Second Harvest for this effect in the last trip to Innistrad. So I'm gonna guess that this is probably on a permanent, and it's probably gonna be one of the more expensive cards of the set, just because people love their tokens.
And while I think it's probably going to be vampires, but considering we're still on Innistrad and spirits have been mentioned, part could be a coin flip. I'm not sure.
Well, I mean, we will have both of those be the tribes in the set commander decks, so.
Ooh, true, true.
Definitely, it could go either way. We will see a Spirit Warlock here as a legendary creature too. So this is probably gonna be in the set, not the commander pre-cons. So we're definitely gonna be seeing at least one spirit.
Yeah, it's they're throwing out all the coolest little teasers, and I dare say the cooler tribes for this set. So I'm all of these is getting my mind crazy. I have no idea where to start or what to think.
Yeah, I do agree with you, is that I just love these new counter types here. I'm a kind of a geek for old cards with a bunch of really bizarre counters that you never see anywhere else. And I guess I just see the inclusion of so many different kinds of counters, save for slime counters. I think we've seen that before.
Yeah, I think
But
even on some oozes that were even around the original Innistrad release.
I want to say it's card Gutter Slime, I think, had. It's an enchantment that has slime counters on, I believe, but I'm probably wrong on that one. But as far as the rest of them are concerned, Suspect Counters reminds me of Hamapazshar. I know I'm saying that wrong. I know
No,
I'm
no, that is correct.
Profiteer, where we do have the bribery counters, and I feel like Suspect might be something similar to that. It's like, or maybe if you're able to do a Mathas Fiend Seeker, the bounty counters. I think that could be something very similar. But the fact that we're seeing, again, the counter types of Omen, Suspect, and maybe not Croak, That's probably more of a Gitrog monster reference, but you never know. I could definitely see some serious stuff going down in this set, Vorthos-wise. You're probably not going to have a suspect. You're not going to have a suspect without a crime, honestly. So I guess just the lore lover in me is just wondering what is going to go down in this set.
Oh, I mean, Bloodline, I think, is probably the most clearest one. You know, the bloodline of the vampires, so, you know, something becomes a vampire. But, you know, Invitation, what does that mean? Judgment? Well, that sounds like a D&D thing to me, personally, but that could literally mean anything. And yeah, Suspect is the closest thing that I'd say that has something to do with maybe clue tokens or some kind of event happening that gets creatures suspicious or something. So one I think is pretty clear. The rest of them, oh, completely open-ended. Have no idea.
Yeah, I really hope Croak has something to do with the Gitrog monster. Obviously, we just saw a card in Midnight Hunt that has the callback to that. So maybe we'll see something about that. Maybe we won't. I don't know. But since it is technically a creature of the deep, will we see a new Gitrog monster? Who knows?
Fingers crossed.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for taking the time to be on here today, Cole. It's been great having you.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, and thanks for putting our brains together and coming up with some crazy, wild stuff that probably won't make it.
Definitely. All right, and again, you are the host of the Uncommon Commanders podcast. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, hey, yeah. So I'm the host of the Uncommon Commander podcast, where you can find it on Anchor, Apple, Google, and Spotify, and a bunch of other ones. MJ was on there, where we talked about his mono green plus one counters deck quite a while ago. And
may it rest in peace, honestly.
Yeah, get just sayonara. But myself and other guests, and sometimes even previous guests you've had on your podcast, have come on to talk about legendary creatures that are uncommon, how you can build around them and have fun with them at your commander tables.
All right, sounds good. And if you're interested in hearing Cole's other appearance on my podcast, or just any of the back catalog of the entire MTG in Quarantine podcast, you can find those on the usual podcast outlets. Again, like Cole said, that is Spotify, Google, Apple, Player FM, MTG Cast, Breaker, CastBox, and the list goes on and on. I never remember all of them. You can also find me on Twitter at MTG in Quarantine. If you find the very happy-looking Ulamog, you found the right place, speaking of Eldrazi. And again, before I end today's episode, I'd like to give another huge shout-out and thank you to the awesome people who support me over at patreon.com/mtginquarantine. So another shout-out and thank you to Mr. Big Benz, Anomaly, Draco Lucian, Neo Royal, Nick S., and Infamous Ridge for supporting me. If you'd like to help support the channel and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/mtginquarantine for more information. And you've been listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast. My name's MJ. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.